As the four children went over the smooth lawns towards Flora's temple, they talked about the adventures of last night. It was not 10, but 12:30, for Eliza had insisted on their clearing up.
"I do hope he'll be there," Mabel said. "He was such a dear, Cathy. A perfect bailiff with the soul of a gentleman."
"He isn't there, though," said Jimmy.
They went up the marble steps in the sunshine and laid ears to the hinges of the stone door, behind which the Ugly Wugglies had shrieked. All was still. It was as they turned away that they saw the man they had come to meet. He was on the other side of Flora's pedestal. But he was not standing up. He lay quite still, on his back, his arms flung wide.
"Oh, look!" cried Cathy.
His face was a queer greenish colour, and on his forehead there was a cut. At the same time, Mabel pointed at a big rhododendron bush, from which a painted, pointed paper face peered out in the sunlight and, as the children gazed, shrank back into cover. It was but too plain. The unfortunate bailiff must have opened the door before the spell had faded, and the Ugly Wugglies had rushed out upon him and done this.
"We ought to have smelling salts," said Kathleen, half in tears. "I know we ought."
"They would be good," Mabel owned.
"Hasn't your aunt any?"
"Yes."
Mabel fled towards the castle. The other three bent over the still unconscious bailiff. And suddenly a shadow fell on the marble beside them. And a fourth voice spoke, not Mabel's. The children looked up into the face of the eldest of the Ugly Wugglies, the respectable one. Jimmy and Kathleen screamed.
"Hush!" said Gerald savagely.
He was still wearing the ring.
"Hold your tongues! I'll get him away," he added in a whisper.
"Very sad affair, this," said the respectable Ugly Wuggly.
He spoke with a curious accent. It was not the dreadful ooh and ah voice of the night before. And although the face was almost the same as the face he had himself painted on the school drawing paper, it was not the same. For it was no longer paper. It was a real face, and the hands were real hands. It was alive indeed with a vengeance.
"How did it happen?" Gerald asked.
"Most regrettable," said the Ugly Wugly. "The others must have missed the way last night in the passage. They never found the hotel."
"Did you?" asked Gerald blankly.
"Of course," said the Ugly Wugly. "Most respectable, exactly as you said. Then when I came away, I found the others all at this door, very angry. They'd been here all night trying to get out. Then the door opened. This gentleman must have opened it, and before I could protect him, one man hit him on the head."
Here Jimmy was discovered to be in tears, and Kathleen white as any drawing paper.
"What's the matter, my little man?" said the respectable Ugly Wugly kindly.
Jimmy passed instantly from tears to yells.
"Here, take the ring," said Gerald in a furious whisper, and thrust it at Jimmy.
"We must find the others," Gerald said.
"I imagine," said the elderly Ugly Wugly, "that they have gone to bathe. Their clothes are in the wood."
"You two go and see," said Gerald. "I'll go on dabbing this chap's head." In the wood, Jimmy, now fearless as any lion, discovered four heaps of clothing. On a stone seat, well in the sun, sat the two lady Ugly Wugglies. But there was no life in them. Jimmy shook them to pieces, and a sigh of relief burst from Kathleen.
"The spell's broken, you see," she said. "And that old gentleman, he's real. He only happens to be like the Ugly Wugly we made. Let's get back to the unconscious stranger."
They did. And Gerald begged the elderly Ugly Wugly to retire among the bushes with Jimmy.
"Because," said he, "I think the poor bailiff's coming round, and it might upset him to see strangers, and Jimmy'll keep you company."